what was in his hand.
Yes.
To be effective, to be victorious. Hallelujah. How many know the Lord has equipped you with everything that you need to live a spirit-filled, victorious life. Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. The Lord has equipped you with everything that you need to live a spirit-filled life today. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. What have you committed unto him today? Have you committed your life, your house, your family, your finances? Hallelujah. Because he promised if you'll commit it to him, he'll keep it. He will keep that, you keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to go to, talk about some things today. We've been talking about, are you thriving or surviving? And we've talked about how important it is to be in the right environment. How many know environment has a lot to do with how you grow, how you produce fruit, how you produce vegetables? Any gardeners in here today? Wow, four of you. And a couple of you aren't sure if you're gardeners or not. Yeah. Gardeners. How many of you do any gardening? Flower gardening, vegetable gardening, any of those kind of things? How many know environment is everything? The right soil. What do you need? You need the right soil. You need the right seed. You need the right amount of moisture. You need the right amount of sunlight. You need the right amount of things in your life to create the right environment to produce the most amount of fruit. Amen? Anybody got any vegetables off of your garden yet this year? All right. Anybody got any flowers out of your flower gardens? I'll leave out the flower gardeners. Amen. How many know it? And it takes some care, and it takes some influence. How many know I told you a couple Sundays ago about the pot of flowers that I bought that was the hanging plant? Remember the hanging plant that I bought? And it was so gorgeous when I bought it. And then I left to go to Morgan's for the week, and I set it under the shade tree hoping it would survive till I got back, and it almost died. And because it's in the pot that it doesn't have a lot of soil in it. You know how they do the hanging pots? They have a little bit of, I don't know, styrofoam beads in there and a little bit of dirt and a lot of roots, you know. And so you got to water them. Anybody have hanging pots? You got to water them every day. And sometimes I water them two times a day if it's really hot. And so this plant wasn't doing very well because it was in a wrong environment. It wasn't getting the right amount of resources. It wasn't getting water. It was getting too much sun for the amount of water that it was getting. And it just was not thriving. It was surviving, but it wasn't thriving. So the first thing I did when I came back home was get it back in another spot. And I started pouring the water to it and thinking, oh, man, I hope this doesn't die because it was such a pretty flower. I don't even know what kind it is. Little tiny flowers. I don't know what it is. But anyway, I got water back in it, and the thing is growing again. But the moment that I go a couple days and neglect that plant, it starts to go back looking like it did before. How many know as the seed of God is planted into our hearts and into our lives, there is some caretaking that needs to be done? Do you believe that? And as we place ourselves in good environments and right environments, how many know we have the potential to thrive and to produce fruit unto God and produce it in abundance. Now, for those of you who knew Pastor Jack, he liked to garden, and you are setting in Pastor Jack and Pastor Shirley's bean patch and their corn patch, and we pulled many a weeds out of this area right here. So I wasn't real fond of gardening growing up, and so it takes some caretaking, it takes some work. But how many know this ground here really never grew much vegetables? It really just was rocky and sour ground, and it did not produce too much. But how many know it's been a much better garden and much better seed patch as a church than it ever was as a garden? Yeah. However, he bought a piece of property at one point over along Sir John's Run, right? And it had topsoil this deep. I mean, literally, it had deep. You didn't have to dig too hard with the tractor. You know, you just about get the shovel and the hoe out and work the ground. And he would laugh and he would tease us and he'd say, "You guys," he said, "I got tomatoes over there the size of frying pans. I got cabbage heads the size of bushel baskets." And he would have corn on the cob, beautiful corn on the cob. Now, how many know it was the same gardener, but in a different environment? Here, we grew some vegetables. We all seven survived on them. We ate a lot of green beans, a lot of gravy. Hallelujah. About all we could grow was green beans real effectively. We did corn and tomatoes and things like that. But how many know the change of environment, the change of soil, the change of caretaking made all the difference in the world? Amen? But how many know as Christians in our lives, we need to be in good environments. We need to make ourselves available to the sun's light in our life. We need to be available to the water of his spirit that flows into our garden. Amen? We need to have the weeds pulled out sometime. Anybody ever needed some weeding in your life? I mean, I'll raise my hand. Yeah, a few tears, a few little bit of weeding there, a little bit of rocky road, kind of got to clear some of the rocks out of the way. I mean, anybody ever needed a little pruning in your life? You know, sometimes I think we don't need any pruning. We don't need any weeding. We don't need a little adjusting. But it seems like I get adjusted all the time. And that's not a bad thing. We think the chastening of the Lord sometimes is a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. I mean, no, that's a good thing. I mean, no, that's bringing us into a place where we can produce everything that the master gardener planned for us to produce. Amen? So every now and then, I need a little tweaking. I need a little pruning. I need a little weeding. I need a little fertilizer. Amen? Hallelujah. And you know what else I need? Sometimes I need some cross-pollination. Amen? Any gardener? You need some cross-pollination. How many know two corn stalks will do better than one corn stalk, right? How many know we need that interaction amongst each other that causes us to be healthy and to produce and to not just, I don't know about you, but I don't want to just survive through life. I don't want to be just a weary pilgrim passing through. I want to live the high life. Hallelujah. That was probably my tablet going off. I'm going to try to preach with a tablet this morning. It's hard to tell what could happen here because I am not very savvy. I'll have Robert up here preaching with me in a minute. He'll have to be tech support before I get done, but we'll just go with the scripture and roll with it, and I'll just look like I'm using it. I'm trying to be more technically savvy, but I'm really fighting and kicking all the way. I'm like, Paul, why do you kick against the pricks? Why are you fighting this so hard? But hallelujah. I'm trying to thrive in this arena, and I'm having a hard time, okay? Hallelujah. So if my email and stuff starts going off and Facebook or something pops in, we'll just preach whatever comes up, all right? That could be scary. Hallelujah. However, I did see one of those little pictures on Facebook this week with that little kid that was going like this and said, "Tomorrow's Sunday." Did you see that? All excited because it was time to go to church. How many of you woke up with that face on this morning? Okay, let's go on with our scripture. Amen. With that in mind, I want to talk about something this morning. Lynn mentioned something last Sunday when he was ministering, and it kind of was a thought that struck me, so I'm going to give him credit one time for this. So he gave me the thought, and then we'll move on from that, all right? And I'm going to go to Psalms 23 this morning. Hallelujah. Everybody knows Psalms 23? If you don't know any other scripture in the Bible, you need to know Psalms 23. Hallelujah. You need to know the Lord's Prayer. You need to know John 3:16. Amen. You need to know those things. Because if you had nothing else in your life but those scriptures, how many know they'd get you through? But there's so many more wonderful promises in the book that I wouldn't want you to miss out on any of them, but you need to know those. Hey, who wrote Psalms 23? David did. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Hallelujah. David was a shepherd, probably the greatest shepherd we know in the scriptures outside of Jesus. How many know he understood sheep? He understood the concept of the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. How many know a shepherd has a heart for sheep? And you better love sheep if you're going to be a shepherd, because you're going to live with sheep. They don't just take care of themselves. How many know they need some care? They need some provision. They need nurturing. And they are constantly moving. Sheep eat the grass and stuff down to the bottom. They don't leave much behind them. So how many know they're constantly having to take them to other green pastures so that they can eat? And so David starts out in this psalm and he said, the Lord, my shepherd, or the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or another translation says, I shall not lack for anything. I shall not be in need of anything. You need to know this morning that the Lord is your shepherd, and you don't have to lack for anything. You do not have to live in want. Hallelujah. You do not have to live in need today. He is your shepherd, your provider. Hallelujah. And how many know when the prophet Samuel, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but when the prophet Samuel came down to the house of Jesse, he said, God doesn't speak to Samuel before he gets there what his name is. He said, you just go down to the house of Jesse and you anoint the next king out of the house of Jesse. And I love this story and I love this picture, because Samuel goes down to the house of Jesse knowing somewhere in that house there's a king. And the prophetic word needs to draw that king out of that house. How many know the prophetic word will draw the king out of you? And so when they're lining them all up and they're looking for a king, how many know they do just what we do today sometimes? We look for the tallest, the baddest, the meanest, the strongest, the most equipped, the most educated, the one who looks like he might be the next king. And they line them all up and they send them through and they pass them through. And Samuel said, I don't know, Jesse. He said, I don't see him, but I know he's here, because God told me to come anoint a king out of the house of Jesse. Do you have any more sons in your house? He said, well, I do have one more son. I got the little guy, the youngest of the family, but he's out keeping the sheep. I couldn't call him because he's busy. He's out keeping the sheep. How many know if you want something done, ask somebody who's busy? Amen? If you want something done, ask somebody who's busy, because most of the time they can figure out how to get it done and how to multitask. Any multitaskers in here today? And the rest of you know you are too. Most women are. Thank you, darling. I was having one of those days this week in my office where I had my computer on, my new tablet on, my phone on, and my other phone ringing at the same time. I'm saying, Lord, help me. We got way too many devices in this house. I mean, sometimes you got to be able to multitask. I can send a message on Facebook, text on my phone, and answer the other phone all at the same time. Hallelujah. And sometimes you just need to turn them off and go out and sit on the porch swing. So anyway, he says, and I'll get him and I'll bring him in. And you all have heard me teach this before, so I'm not going to labor on it. But how many know when he brings David in, the anointing speaks and says, this is the next king of Israel. Hallelujah. Not the one who looks the part. Not the one who's maybe the bravest, I don't know. Not the one necessarily that's the strongest, the baddest, or the meanest. But the one who has the heart of a shepherd. See, God will always call you from the intent and desire of your heart. And he always calls those who have a heart for the shepherd, for the sheep. A heart of a shepherd and a heart for the sheep. Hallelujah. How many know the instruction that Jesus gives Peter on the shore? One of the very last things he says to him is, Peter, do you love me? And he said, I do, Lord, I do love you. And he said, then feed my sheep. If you love me, you'll feed my sheep. I don't think Peter really got it to that moment, the mandate of God that was on his life. But Peter, it's not just about you anymore. I need you to feed my sheep. Hallelujah. So the anointing comes on David, and he becomes the next king of Israel. And so he says in the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Now, two powerful points in this scripture. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. How many know sheep need green pastures? They are a constantly moving flock. I told you before, they need fresh green grass, and they are constantly moving. But how many know sheep will not lie down if an enemy is near? If there's wolves nearby, if there is danger nearby, sheep will not lay down. But David says here in this song, he makes me lie down in green pastures. All around me is fruitfulness and green and safety in green pastures. He gives me rest in green pastures. Hallelujah. He is my provider. He is my protector. I mean, we're glad this morning that he's your protector. Sister Wild already testified over the protection to her family. Hallelujah. I mean, are thankful for every time God's ever stepped in the way of the adversary or the enemy or danger in your path and saved you. I dare say we're probably way more times than we ever know or we've ever comprehend God has went ahead of us. Hallelujah. And stood before us in his protection and his provision. Hallelujah. How many know you can only lie down and rest when you know there's safety about you? When you know that there's provision about you. You know, I said before, we say a lot of times, you know, we're at rest in the scriptures and we're at rest in God. Well, the only way you can be at rest is you know how the work got done. Amen? Because I told you, at my house, it's very hard to sit down and really rest when the work's not done around me. Amen? Because I'll be sitting down on the outside, Sister Robin, but my inside's not sitting down. Because that sink of dishes is calling me. And so I can rest better when I know that the work's been done. Amen? So he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Cool, still waters of refreshment. Now, sheep don't like boisterous waters. They like still waters. And what happens is when the waters are too boisterous, sheep won't pass through them. So when a shepherd wants to take the sheep to another pasture and the waters are too boisterous, the sheep are fearful because they are buoyant. And they literally will float with the water and go downstream if the shepherd doesn't help guide them across the waters if they're tall enough or if they're heavy enough. How many know there are floods of things that come into our lives sometimes that seem like they would want to carry us off or cause us to lose our footing or cause us to lose our security or our safety or our confidence. Hallelujah. But the scripture says he leads me beside still waters. He is my provision of still waters. Hallelujah. And causes me to drink from those waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How many know it's his leading in our life? He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That means to be, that word righteousness means to be in right standing. He has put me in right standing with him. I'm in a good place today with my shepherd. Hallelujah. How many of you can say I'm in a good place today with my shepherd because he's leading me in paths of righteousness? The scripture says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Do you believe that your steps are directed and that as he guides and directs your steps, he has good things in store for you? Hallelujah. For his name's sake, not even just for your name's sake, but for his name's sake. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. I mean, they say that the valley of the shadow of death was a very shallow path on the side of a cliff, that when a shepherd would have to take the sheep through there, he could guide them through there in sure footing, and that he could protect them as they walked across that way. I believe God protects us in every area of our life. And even when we pass through valleys that seems like they are full of shadows and darkness and death. Hallelujah. I mean, the scripture says we can fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. The rod was a weapon used against the lion, the bear, the enemies of the sheep. And the staff was used to help prod the sheep along. And if they had an unruly sheep that wanted to go off the side, the shepherd had a way of being able to take the staff and reach out and tap him on the hind end. And that would make him think that there was somebody behind him, and he would hurry on along and stay with the flock. Because how many know there's safety with the flock? There's safety in the multitude of counsel. There's safety in being amongst the sheep. Hallelujah. Because when the sheep would get off by themselves, that made them what? Way more vulnerable for the wolves and the enemies and robbers and thieves. But when they stayed together as a flock, there was safety in that. Hallelujah. How many know there's safety in the counsel of the flock? There's strength in coming together with the flock and being amongst his people. Hallelujah. Cross-pollination. We talked about that earlier. They comfort me. Verse 5. This is where I want to get to. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I told you before that sheep won't eat if there is danger in the area. He said, but you prepare a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. Hallelujah. Then I can eat even when my enemies would be around me. There is a peace that I have in Christ. That you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. Hallelujah. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. Thou anointest my head with oil. As I was thinking about that this week and thinking about that particular scripture, how many know our head to anoint, he anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. To anoint the head with oil, to me, was speaking this week about to anoint my mind, my thoughts, my focus, my soul, and my emotions. To have your head anointed with oil. How many know that everything we operate out of in our mind has to pass through his anointing first? Now think about that for a moment. And my desire this week as I prayed is, Lord, I want you to anoint my head with oil. I want my thoughts to be anointed with your presence and your word. I want my emotions to be so saturated with your presence and your anointing in my life that everything that passes through my mind has to pass through your anointing. Anybody else in here can say, Lord, I need you to anoint my head with oil. I need you to anoint every part of my being, every part of my life, every thought, hallelujah, yes, to saturate me with your spirit, an anointing that my mind is so focused on you, my mind is so full of you, there's no room for nothing else. Amen. Hallelujah. That's powerful to me. To come to the place where that everything that passes through my mind, everything that passes through my, how many know the mind talks about the soul, the psuche, the soul realm? Hallelujah. You know, David had to speak to his soul every now and then. He would say, soul, make your boast in the Lord. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted? Hope thou in me. And he would begin to speak to the soul. He would speak to his mind. He would speak to himself. Anybody in here ever had to give yourself a good talking to? Good. Just do it when nobody else is around. They think you lost your mind or off your meds, but it don't matter. I mean, no, sometimes you need to talk to somebody on your level. You got to talk to somebody who understands you. Hallelujah. I'll go down the road sometime and I'll talk to myself. I'll pray out loud. Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. I'll be going down the road and I'll say, Lord, today I just need to talk to you about this situation. I don't care who sees me. They just think I'm singing to something on the radio, so I don't care. But how many know there is a renewing of your mind? How many know what we process and what we put through our mind manifest a lot of times in our actions? Amen? A lot of what we let come into our head, I'm very careful and guard my mind. I'm very careful what I let come into my brain. I'm very careful what I let my eyes see. you know, what it may be different for you may be different. I do not like scary movies. So I don't put that in my head. Because I figure if I don't put that in my head, I don't have to clean it back out of there. I won't have bad dreams. I won't have those reflections. Amen? Go back to. And so I'm very careful about what I put into my mind, my eyes, what I allow mess with my emotions. Amen? Hallelujah. And so my prayer has been, Lord, anoint my head with oil. Anoint my head with your goodness, your mercy, your grace in my life. How many know the power of the Holy Spirit is the anointing of our head? Amen? And that when we allow that anointing to speak or allow the Holy Ghost to speak in our lives. Hallelujah. I mean, we will function way more efficiently when we function out of the realm of His Spirit and His anointing than we do when we function out of our own motions and our own emotions and our own wills and our own thoughts. How many know there's sometimes when I have thoughts that I have to take them thoughts captive? Amen? There's some of those days when you want to bite your nails or bite somebody, you know, where you just got to. I'm the only one like that, right? You know, when you just have those moments, you know, and you got to take those thoughts captive. How many know sometimes it's easy to respond to a situation? Sometimes it's way more difficult to just be silent. But you'll find out a lot of times if you'll just be silent for a moment and give yourself time to think, your response will be a whole lot different. And sometimes you won't have to go back and fix what you just messed up. Amen? I mean, sometimes even in our relationship, if we would just stop for a moment and not say anything, we would be so much farther ahead than when we got to go back and fix what we just messed up. Because a soft answer turns away wrath. Because sometimes what you say in a moment of frustration or anger is not really what you mean. And when you have a moment to ponder it and process it and filter it through the Holy Ghost and filter it through that anointing, you'll find out that the words that come out of your mouth can be way more effective and way more powerful. How many know words have power? Words have power. If when you come in here today, everything you heard at that word, that door would have been negative to you, and if everybody that's spoken to your life today so far would have been negative to you, you would be having a bad day till now. Amen? But how much more powerful if everything that came out of our mouth and came out of our spirit and came out of our mind was uplifting and edifying and building up? Think about the power you have to lift the spirits of somebody, to speak life into somebody, to declare healing and power. Hallelujah. See, the scripture says that the power of life and death is in your tongue. You wield a deadly sword at times. You got to be careful. It's the one thing that has no bones in it, but it can be powerful. And it can be destructive. Hallelujah. Because if we're not careful, we use it as a weapon of destruction and not as an instrument to His glory and of His peace. Amen? So my desire this week is, Lord, anoint my head with oil. Anoint my mind, my thoughts, my emotions, everything that I focus on, Lord. Let it be filtered through your anointing and your goodness. Think how powerful your day would be. If every thought that came in was processed through His anointing and His power and His presence in your life. Is it? I mean, maybe for the most part we do, but how many know there's sometimes that I operate out of frustration, or I operate out of disappointment, or I operate out of fear, or I operate, maybe I'm the only one in here that operate, but sometimes, I don't always operate out of the anointing. There, I said it. Amen? Hallelujah. There's sometimes that my emotions speak louder than my spirit does. But I got to be like David sometimes. I say, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you discouraged? Why are you discomforted? Your hope is in the Lord. Hope now in the Lord. go ahead and boast in the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah. And so I got to talk to my soul, and my soul got to start talking to me, and all of a sudden the anointing starts to rise up inside of me, and all of a sudden his presence becomes more real and more alive in me. See, we can either confess death or we can confess life. And how many know sometimes Asaph said, I complained till my spirit was overwhelmed. So if your tongue has the power to cause your spirit to be overwhelmed, it has the power to bring life to you. It has the power to pick you up out of wherever you is. I don't care what circumstances is around you. I don't care what you're dealing with right now. You need to start speaking life and not death to situations. Hallelujah. You might be having relationships that need life and not death. Start speaking it. You might need healing in your body. Start declaring what the word says is true of you. Hallelujah. And as we begin to remind ourselves of what the word says, it might not change your actual circumstance, but it will change how you view it. How many know when Jesus came to the woman who was bowed over? And she'd been bowed over for 18 years. The scripture said, and could in no wise lift up herself. She did not have the power or the ability to lift herself up. I mean, there are times in my life that I've not had the power, the ability to lift myself. I needed somebody else to speak a word in season, a word of life to me, and say to me, Lisa, you can stand up in this situation. You do not have to be bowed over. You do not have to focus on the flesh. You do not have to look at the dirt all your life. You do not have to look at your own feet, your own walk, your own steps, your own direction, but you have the power to stand upright today. You have the power to be made every whit whole. You are a daughter of Abraham, and you have a right to stand upright. And when you stand upright, you find out that the focus and the vision is different than it was down here. Because now I have the ability to look all the way up to the heavens and see something even bigger or greater or beyond anything that I know and I can do. But I can lift myself to another realm and say, no matter what it looks like down here, Lord, you got this in the palm of your hand. Hallelujah. Go ahead and anoint my head with oil. Go ahead and cause me to think anointed thoughts. Go ahead and cause me to speak anointed things. Go ahead and cause me to hear anointed things. Hallelujah. How many know when you get your head anointed with oil, it's your head, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your ears, your brain, your thinking. Hallelujah. Go ahead and anoint my eyes, Lord, that I can see through your anointing. Go ahead and anoint my lips. Go ahead and put the coal to my lips, that what I speak is anointed and powerful and life-giving. Go ahead and anoint my ears, Lord, that I'm not hearing dysfunctional things, that I'm not hearing discouragement, that I'm not hearing things that are contrary to your word. Go ahead and anoint my ears so I'm hearing from you, God, today. Hallelujah. Anoint my brain, my thinking, the seat of my emotions. Hallelujah. Anybody ever got to deal with emotions? Hallelujah. I told you before, there's some days I say, Lord, you got to speak louder in my hormones. Sometimes they're really crying out. Hallelujah. All you men say amen. You know it's true. And just for the record, you got hormones too. Everybody's saying amen now. All right. Hallelujah.
When the bugs, flies get in the nose of a sheep, it will bug them until they will actually throw themselves off a cliff and kill themselves because they can't stand the buzzing in their head. And sometimes, you know, the enemy would like to drive us away from the things of God and keep our minds so full of things that bug us all the time. It doesn't have to be big things, even little things. And it'll drive you crazy if you let it. But that's what the purpose of the anointing oil to the sheep was, to keep out the nose flies.
Amen. Preach it, Sister Shirley. He anointed, the shepherd anointed the sheep's heads, really for medicinal purposes. It was to, the anointing in the scriptures, was for comfort, blessing, protection, and empowerment. But the shepherd anointed the sheep against nose flies, against lice, insects that would bury into the wool and kill the sheep. Nose flies would get into the eyes and the ears of the sheep and literally drive them crazy. It would get into their ears, it would get up their noses, and literally it would get inside their head and would buzz, and to the point that a sheep that was tormented with nose flies literally would throw themselves off of a cliff to get it to stop, to get it under control. Pastor Shirley just told you his anointing is to bring soothing comfort to you and to protect you against those things that bug you and drive you crazy. Amen. Hallelujah. He did it to comfort the sheep. He did it protective. It was the anointing of the head, the sheep of the heads would take the focus off the shepherd. It would take, if the sheep were tormented, their focus would be off the shepherd. And so the anointing would cause them to be able to hear the sound of the voice of the shepherd and not the sound of the buzzing of the nose flies and the insects that would drive them crazy and torment them. Amen. Psalms 92 and 10, Steph, if you can put that up. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Hallelujah. How many would like to have a fresh anointing of fresh oil in their life this morning? Amen. That doesn't mean you're not anointed. That doesn't mean your anointing went away. How many know when David was anointed, the next thing he did was go right back to what he was doing before? But he went back with an anointing that started working in him until the time of promotion came. Amen. How many know promotion comes from the Lord? Hallelujah. And actually, we talk about the anointing of David by the prophet Samuel at the house of Jesse, but David actually had three anointings. He was anointed at the house of Judah, over Judah, and he was also anointed as king over Israel. He had three different anointings. Did that make the first anointing nullified or not effective? Absolutely not. But how many know each anointing was a reminder of what God had already spoke and God was beginning to put into process? Hallelujah. And so I believe we can have a daily anointing of our head with oil that causes our cup to run over of fresh oil. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes I just need a fresh oil? I just need a fresh word from God. I just need some direction. I need some to know what steps to go. I need to know what he's speaking to me today. I need to know what his purpose or his will is for today, for next week, maybe even for next year. Amen. Have you ever been faced with situations or faced with choices or things changes in front of you and you don't know which way to go and you're trying to work it all out? How many know you need a fresh touch of his anointing oil that says, you know what? I'm going to be at peace in my mind because I'm just going to let the anointing that's on my head begin to flow to every thought, every concern, every worry, every situation. I'm going to allow the anointing of the Holy Ghost to speak in every situation in every area of my life. Can I tell you, he didn't bring you this far to let you go. He didn't bring you this far to drop you. He didn't bring you this far to not keep you, take you where you need to go. Hallelujah. And to perform his will in your life. Hallelujah. So it says, you anointed me with fresh oil. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Romans, you can go ahead to that one, Steph. Romans 12 and 2 says, talks about the renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. How many know our minds need to be renewed? How many know hopefully when we come to church, our minds are renewed. We're reminded of the scripture. We're reminded of the word. We're reminded of who we are. We're reminded we have purpose. We're reminded we have a mission field. We're reminded of the goodness of God in our life. We're reminded that we are disciples. Hallelujah. Our mind is renewed. Hallelujah. Philippians 2 and 5 through 11 says, let this mind be in you, what mind? The mind that was also in Christ Jesus, an anointed mind. Thou anointest my head with oil. My thought process needs to come out of a realm of the mind that was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. How many know this is one of my favorite scriptures? He said he thought it not to be... thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but yet he humbled himself and became obedient, what? To the death of the cross. How many know what was accomplished in the cross? He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He paid for your healing. He paid for your salvation. All of those things were paid for at the cross of Calvary. That's the mind that needs to be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's a name far above every other name. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What name? It's given him a name that's above every name. Hallelujah. His name's above what? Cancer. His name's above cancer. Diabetes. Depression. Whatever. Sickness. High blood pressure. Arthritis. Heart trouble. Migraines, poverty, sin, death. That's what, it's a name above every name. Do you believe that today? At the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I've just been praying lately, Lord, your name's above every name. I don't always understand circumstances. I don't always know why they go the way they do, but I do know there's a name above every name. Hallelujah. That at the name of Jesus. And I just start decreeing, migraines, you got to bow a knee. High blood pressure, you got to bow a knee. Sickness, you got to bow a knee. Cancer, you got to bow a knee. Hallelujah. Oppression, depression, you got to bow a knee. At the name of Jesus. So when I don't even know what to pray, and I don't even know what to ask for, I just say, at the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. I mean, there's sometimes circumstances that's all I can do is just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because there's something about that name. There's something about the name of Jesus that causes my spirit to come alive. That causes me to know that there's something bigger and greater than I. It's a feeling, it's an experience that I say, Jesus. There's just something about your name. Hallelujah. Your word says that your name is exalted above every name. Hallelujah. How many know those? All those things are just names? They're just names. So let this mind be in you. This way of thinking. This mindset be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death at the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. What an honor and a privilege it is to just be able to confess that Jesus, you are Lord of my life. You are Lord of my circumstances. You are Lord of my healing. You are Lord of my mind. Hallelujah. Anoint my head with oil, Lord. Anoint every part about me, that everything that enters in through my mind must pass through the anointing of your Holy Spirit, the anointing of my shepherd, that before it ever enters in my mind, it's going to have to pass through the anointing that my shepherd has anointed me with. Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. That everything should have to filter itself through the anointing that's on your head today. Hallelujah. Amen. When everything filters through that anointing. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 says that he hath anointed us. So in case you were wondering today whether you have an anointing, whether you've been anointed. See, sometimes we think that the preacher's anointed, or the TV miracle healer, he's anointed, or, you know, somebody else is anointed, but I'm not anointed. How many know the scripture says he hath anointed us? It's his presence, his spirit in us that is the anointing. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath what? Who? Anointed us is God. Us. Okay? And verse 23. Who also sealed us and given us the earnest of the spirit in our heart. Hallelujah. How many know he anointed us? You have that anointing today. Psalms 45 and 8. It says, all thy garments smell of myrrh. It's the anointing oil. One of the fragrances that was in the art of the apothecary. It was an oil, a fragrance. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Hallelujah. How many know how precious it is that our garments smell of myrrh and aloes and fragrance of worship and not death and destruction and the stench of anything else? Hallelujah. Go ahead and get dressed today. All right, go ahead and get dressed. Go ahead and put your garments on because they smell of myrrh and aloe and fragrances. Hallelujah. How many of the scripture says, he gave me beauty for ashes? Isaiah 61 and 3. To point unto them that mourn in Zion. Anybody in mourning today? Doesn't just mean mourning and death. But it says to give unto them what? Beauty for their ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. Give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. I already told you, go ahead and get dressed today. Go ahead and put on your garment of praise. Go ahead and put on your garments that are filled with myrrh and sweet spices and fragrance and anointing today. Hallelujah. And go ahead and lift up your voice in praise. And go ahead and praise him out of that anointed place where your head has been anointed with oil. And when you do, your cup runs over. Hallelujah. And before you know it, your happy runs off and it splashes over on somebody else. Hallelujah. Before you know it, your cup runs over. And when your cup runs over, somebody else going to get blessed by what's overflowing out of your vessel and out of your cup. Hallelujah. So go ahead and put your garment on today. Go ahead and get dressed today. Go ahead and let him anoint your head with oil. He said when he anointed, he said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like precious ointment that flowed from the head of Aaron down to his beard and down even to the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. How many know when we dwell together in unity, it releases a fragrance, an anointing, a power, hallelujah, that flows down to every area. It flows down from the head all the way down. Whatever part of your being needs to be touched by his anointing, just go ahead and release it today. Hallelujah, and receive that. Hallelujah. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. In verse 6, out of Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. He anoints my head with oil. My cry and my prayer this week has been, Lord, anoint my head with oil so that I function out of the realm of your anointing. And not out of anything else, not out of fear, not out of depression, not out of struggle, not out of questioning, but that everything that passes through my mind, through my thoughts, through my eyes, through my ears, through my mouth, must first be filtered through your anointing and your presence in my life. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. If that's your cry this morning, if that's your desire, that Lord, where I am today, what I'm functioning in, let it have to pass through your anointing. Hallelujah. Can you just lift your hands for just a moment? Hallelujah. If you're struggling today and you want us to anoint your head with oil physically, we will do that. The altar is open up here. Hallelujah. And I'll be glad to anoint your head with oil. But I just want you to lift your hands for just a moment. Hallelujah. And say, Lord, I just want you to anoint our head, Lord, our minds, our thoughts, our will, and our emotions, God, that we're so sealed by your anointing. Hallelujah. Lord, that there's no nose flies, there's no insects. Those things that bug us, Lord, they got to go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, no more buzzing from the pest, Lord. No more outside noise. Hallelujah. Those things that would try to torment us and aggravate us, that would cause us to want to be cast down, Lord, I say in Jesus' name, your anointing oil today, God. Hallelujah. The anointing breaks every yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Everything that would cause us to not be thriving, Lord, just surviving in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The anointing of your presence in this house today, God. We receive it. The renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind, God. The anointing of your presence in our life. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Every situation, every circumstance must pass through your anointing, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul. Just sing it to him. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my thee. How great thou art. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.